Amen. Do please take a seat. We're going to turn now to God's Word. We're going to turn to Luke chapter 6 and we'll read verse 36 to 42. It's on page 1034. Alex, I think, is going to come and read for us. And we can find Bibles just in the seats in front of you. It's on page 1034. Thanks very much, Alex.
Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will all be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye," when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. This is the word of the Lord.
Alex, thank you very much for reading for us. Lovely to keep those Bibles open at Luke chapter 6, page 1034. I'm going to pray for us. Heavenly Father, as we gather around your word now, we do pray that you would feed us. We pray that you'd feed us from your word, that you'd nourish us, that you'd grow us as we read and feed on your word to be more like Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. If you're joining us this morning, we've not chosen that passage particularly because it's Mothering Sunday. Rather, we've been working through a sermon that Jesus is giving to his disciples on what it is like to follow him and what it is like to be one of his disciples. But on this Mothering Sunday, I think it does touch an issue that actually does affect parents, affects mothers. Being married to a mum, speaking to mums, having a mum. One of the things that makes motherhood hard sometimes is that feeling of being judged, by others. Whether that's a real judgment or a perceived judgment, it can be there. It can make being a parent, being a mother, particularly hard. So from birth, you feel judged on whether you bottle feed or breastfeed. You feel judged on how you get your child to sleep, whether you kind of sleep train, whether you just let them sort of cry, all these things. As children grow up, I'm sure you felt the times when you felt sort of judged by others for how you're disciplining your child or what kind of things you're letting them do. If you're out and about and your child's misbehaving they're kicking off in Tesco's, you can sort of feel the glances of everybody around, thinking, "Ooh, terrible parent." Been there. It's very easy, isn't it, as a parent, it's very easy to feel that sense of judgment, to feel judged. But if we're honest as well, I think we can not just feel judged, but actually, if we're honest, we can also be the ones doing the judging. It's very easy, isn't it, to be very quick to judge others. To make a snap judgment on somebody based on their appearance, based on how they talk, based on what they say. Saw an example of this over the weekends on social media, on Twitter. A Christian author in America, she posted a picture of a lady with her daughter, and her daughter was just looking lovingly at her mum in great pride. Her mum had just been appointed, I think, as the Supreme Court judge. Anyway, she just posted it because she was like, "Well, this is a lovely picture, and I hope that one day my daughter looks at me like this." Well, then she got all the people just kind of piling onto her, assuming that she was posting the picture because she was making a political point, or that she kind of believed everything that this other woman believed, and so everyone was kind of piling onto her. And she was like, what was going on? All I did was post a picture of a daughter looking lovingly at a mother. Very easy, isn't it, to do that, just kind of make that snap judgment. Well, she must believe everything that this woman believes. It's just a picture. But it's so easy, isn't it, to go through life just doing those kind of similar things, isn't it? And, you know, have you ever had a conversation with friends or family after you've been out somewhere or you've done something and you come back and you've gone, I can't believe she said that. Can you believe she said that? Can you believe he said that? Oh, can you believe he did that? Oh, terrible. And did you see what they did? It's all too easy, isn't it, to fall into a pattern of criticism, assuming that our way is the best way and the only way. All too easy to spot the flaws in everyone else before we spot the flaws in ourselves. Look, do you ever find that? I find that I do that. At times when I struggle with these things. Well, this morning, Jesus doesn't just show us a better way to live. He shows us how to get there. As we said at the start, you join us in the middle of a sermon that Jesus is giving to disciples. We just the words in the song that we just sang, I have decided to follow Jesus. Perhaps not everybody in the room this morning has decided to follow Jesus. But Jesus is speaking to those that have decided to follow him, to put their trust in him, and know that he's died or will die for them. And 2 weeks ago, we were looking at this teaching of Jesus to those that have decided to follow him. And 2 weeks ago, we were looking at Jesus' words, or listening to Jesus' words, about how to relate to those outside the Christian community. How we're to love our enemies, those who seek to insult us, or maybe harm us, or just people that we don't get on with. And today, Jesus is saying, okay, we've done with kind of how we love people out there. Now we're talking about how we love one another. Jesus is pivoting. He's pivoting to say, okay, well, what about us? What about us as a community of disciples? How do we love one another? And he speaks into this issue of judgment and criticism that we can all be prone to. We're going to see two things this morning. First of this is this. Jesus calls us to be a community shaped by mercy. Be a community shaped by mercy. Have a look at verse 37. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Let's just deal with something right from the word go about what Jesus isn't meaning here. Okay? Before we think about what Jesus is meaning, let's clear up what Jesus isn't saying. Because these words, do not judge, they're often quoted, and they're often massively misunderstood. I'm sure you've heard people say something like, referencing these words of Jesus, Jesus says, do not judge, and somebody's saying, well, look, it's not my place to judge. It's not my place to judge. It's not my place to say whether that person is in the wrong or not. It's not my place to call another Christian, another follower of Jesus, to repentance over a particular sin. Jesus says, do not judge, so I'm not judging. And we assume what Jesus is saying is a call to kind of all-pervasive tolerance. We just kind of let people get on with whatever they're doing, and you know, because Jesus says, do not judge. Jesus cannot be saying that. Why? Well, because he'd be contradicting the rest of the Bible. So there are plenty of times in the Bible when Christians are called to correct one another and to call one another to what we call repentance, to turning away from sin and turning to follow Jesus. I'll give you two examples. There are many. Here's two. One from the Old Testament, one from the New. Proverbs 28:23. A proverb says this: whoever rebukes a person will in the end gain favor, rather than one who has a flattering tongue. In other words, it is good to call somebody to repentance over sin. Or Galatians 6, verse 1. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. You see what Jesus is saying there? He's saying, through the words of Paul, you know, we are to call one another to repent. If you see me falling into persistent sin, you are to call me to repentance. Jesus cannot be saying, in the words, "Do not judge," never make an ethical judgment about an idea or how another Christian is living. Because as a community, as we're going to go on to see, we're to help one another. So what is Jesus saying? There are lots of other verses we could look at, but they're just two. And what is Jesus saying? Verse 36 is key. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. We saw that was a reason to love our enemies. A Christian is somebody who's been shown mercy by our Heavenly Father, has been forgiven our sin. We don't deserve it, but we've been forgiven, we've shown mercy, so we're to love others. That is also how Jesus says we are to treat one another. It's not there in the English, but literally it goes on like this. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful, and do not judge, and do not condemn, and forgive, and give. So in other words, Jesus is saying, you've got a merciful Father in heaven. And so the way in which you treat one another is to be a reflection of his character, his merciful character. You see the points? How does your Father in heaven relate to you? Does he stand over you like a stern teacher, wagging his finger, sighing? Look what you've done again. Is he like an overbearing helicopter parent? Come on, get your act together, sort it out. Is he constantly holding your sin against you, dangling it in front of you, saying, look what a failure, look what a mess you are? No. He's a merciful Father. And through Christ, your sin has been judged when Christ died upon the cross. Your past, present, and future sin. So Paul can say, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Your Father has taken your sin seriously. So seriously that Jesus has gone and died for it. And he's forgiven your sin completely, and he's given to you generously his love, his presence, his future. He's a merciful Father. He's not dealing harshly or critically, but from a heart full of grace and mercy, one which takes sin seriously, but which is dealt with it through the cross, and so pours out love and favor upon his people. And it's in that same sense that we're to relate to one, you know, to not judge is to not be overly harsh and critical. To seek to tear down, to seek to put yourself and make yourself look better than other people. That's what Jesus is getting at. And be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful, and do not judge. And then actually Jesus goes on. Verse 36 helps us to understand how Jesus then talks about the future. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. There's a great danger, isn't there? And particularly if you're here this morning, you've not heard the rest of what Jesus is saying, there's a great danger that we go, okay, therefore, Jesus, what Jesus is calling me to there is not to judge, not to condemn, to forgive, in order to win forgiveness, in order to win so that I will go to heaven. Jesus doesn't say so that, he says and. Be merciful, as your Father in heaven is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. In other words, Jesus is saying, look, and he makes this point next week, which we'll go on to see. If you've received mercy from God, if you've received forgiveness and love, then live in mercy and love and forgiveness. Because that shows what you will receive in the new creation. And don't judge, and you won't be judged. In other words, if you're having a heart that is transformed by the love of God, by his grace, his mercy, and forgiveness, it shows you're one of his people. If you're going around not judging or and being forgiving, then, you will be forgiven, and you will be shown grace in the new creation. Because you're showing that you're having a heart transformed by God's mercy and grace. It's the image that Jesus will use as a fruit tree. Again, we've said it pretty much every week. I'll say it again because people here who've not been with us. a fruit tree, if you are a tree that has been that knows Jesus, you produce Jesus' fruit, the fruit of forgiveness and grace and mercy, just as an apple tree produces apples and a pear tree produces pears. If you've experienced mercy and grace from God, then that's what you do to others. And that's what you will experience from God in the new creation. Generosity and grace. And the point he's making in verse 38. Give and it will be give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Being full of grace and generous to people now shows that that is how your Father will treat you in the new creation. So it's the image from a marketplace, right? Somebody going in and saying wants to get some corn, and it goes to I want the proper measure, a full measure of corn. And so he goes to the corn seller and says, give me a measure of corn. And so how it would work in the market is that the corn seller will get his measure, he'd fill it about 2/3 full, he'd sort of give it a little bit of shake, so the grains sort of settle down, and then he'd pour in some more, give it a bit more of a shake, so the grains settle down again. And then he puts some more in and he press it down. And then he pour on grain on the top. So in other words, so the measure was absolutely full. It was a complete full measure. I guess for us, maybe it's more like going to the deli and asking for a pot of olives. Okay, you go to the deli and you ask for a pot of olives. Or you go to Pick and Mix. Somebody was saying between the services, it's when I go to the Pick and Mix. You don't want a half measure of Pick and Mix or a half measure of olives, do you? You don't want the other person just to kind of give you a pot and just kind of put one scoop in. No, what you say, you want you get the pot and you kind of give it a shake, put another scoop in, and then put the other scoop in, then you give it a bit more shake. Yeah, go on, put another scoop in. And then you kind of get the plastic top and you kind of cram it down, don't you? And so you can only just get the plastic. Yep, that's it, and you're holding the top on. That's the idea that Jesus is using, right? And he's saying, look, that is how you're going to be treated in the new creation. God is hugely gracious and generous to you. He's going to give you an eternity with him. God is not holding back in his grace to you. That's how we're to live with one another, not holding back grace, being generous, seeking to encourage, seeking to love. It shows what we will receive. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. It shows we've experienced that grace and that mercy, and that we will do. It's the reality of knowing Jesus being worked out in our lives. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge and you will not be judged, and do not condemn and you will not be condemned. So let's be people who do that. Because Jesus is a command by Jesus, and so let's be people who do that. Worth reflecting, isn't it? Where actually is it that the time when I'm tempted to be most harsh and critical of others? Maybe it is social media. Maybe it's in a work setting. Maybe it is in the church community. Where am I tempted to be most harsh and critical, to make snap judgments of people? And instead of doing that, I can go, okay, let's take a step back. Let's ask, why? Why is that person saying that? Why is that person doing that? What's led them to that? That's a much better course of action to take, isn't it? That avoids us making snap judgments. It avoids us being harsh and critical. But let's not fall into a pattern of constant critique. Let's rather instead seek to celebrate the good. We have a Father who is merciful in heaven. How does he relate to us? Is he constantly critiquing us? No. Let's seek to be generous as our Father is generous towards us. Let's not assume that our way is always the best way or the only way. You know, older generations are not to constantly judge the younger generation for doing things differently. Likewise, the younger generation is not to condemn older generations as though they've got everything wrong. Just as our Father is merciful to us, let's seek us to be merciful to one another. Forgiven, you will be forgiven. As those who have been forgiven, as those who will experience the full reality of forgiveness one day, let's be people who seek to forgive one another. And that means, forgiveness means acknowledging that there has been hurt and wrong. and making a conscious decision not to hold that sin or that wrong against somebody. It's a conscious, it's not a sweeping under the carpet saying, I have been hurt, I have been sinned against, and I'm consciously going to choose to forgive. I'm consciously going to not bring that up with that person or with anyone else or even in my own heart. Because that is how God treats us through Christ. Given, it will be given to you. Be gracious. Seek the good. Seek the encouragement and blessing of others instead of the tearing down. What a community to live in that would be. We're a work in progress. We're all works in progress. I'm a work in progress. But what a community to live in. What a community to aspire to be. The one that Jesus calls us to. That mercy, forgiveness, grace, that no condemnation verdict from our Father shape how we love others. We're to be a community shaped by mercy. Second, we're to be a community shaped by humility. Community shaped by humility. Jesus goes on to those who follow him, to those whom he'll die for, to highlight that there will be times when we need to call somebody to repentance over their sin. Of course there will. I expect there'll be times when you need to call me to repentance. We're a community of sinners, saved by grace. We're not in the new creation yet. But the point that Jesus is making in verses 39 to 42 is that we're to do that with humility. And actually we're to be far more concerned about my own sin and your own sin than about the sin of other people in a community. Verse 41. Jesus, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrites. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Did you see the goal of what Jesus is saying? Is at the end of verse 42. The goal is so that we see clearly, so that we can help one another with the specks in eyes, which is sins. We want to see clearly so we can help one another with our sin. That's the goal, says Jesus. And Jesus tells this funny, ridiculous, over-exaggerated story to make the point. Okay, this is Jesus being funny. Okay, we're familiar with the words, but this is Jesus being funny, right? He says, picture a guy. And he's struggling to get a speck of sawdust out of his eye. And if when you've got something in your eye, no matter how small, it hurts. Imagine there's a guy that he's in pain. He's like, I've got sawdust in my eye. It's really hurting. Ow. And Jesus says, well, imagine his friend comes blundering in, right? It's all right, mate. I'll help. His friend comes in. But his friend's got a great whacking big plank in his eye. Okay? And he says, it's fine. I'll help. You can imagine the picture, can't you? You can imagine the scene as a friend with a plank in his eye comes in, and every time he turns round, he kind of knocks things off the shelf or knocks over kind of jars. He's turning this way and that way, and the guy with the speck is kind of ducking every time kind of the guy with a plank is turning round. And the guy with the speck in his eye goes, oh, it's all right, mate, don't worry. I should have gone to Specsavers. Thank you. That deserved a better laugh than that. I'm sorry. Specsavers. Come on. I know we've had an hour less sleep. Jesus kind of is being funny, right? He's saying, how ridiculous. How ridiculous, says Jesus. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be like the guy with a plank in your eye. If you want to help the guy with a speck, take the 2x4 out your eye first. Deal with your own sin, says Jesus, first. We're to deal with our own sin, our own godliness as our first priority, rather than to sit and thinking, oh, that person and that person and that person. And it helps us, doesn't it? It helps us to understand the point of the parable in verse 39. Can the blind lead the blind? No. Will they not both fall into a pit? Well, yes. Jesus is saying, look, the person caught in a constant cycle of, I don't know, angry outbursts and loss of self-control, or whatever it might be, they're in no place to help somebody else who's also struggling with those things. What can they do? I mean, they can sympathize and say, well, yeah, I know what it's like to you know, not have self-control and to get cross all the time. But if they're to offer any help, actually they need to be addressing what's going on in their own heart first and letting God, by his Spirit and by the gospel and by his word, change them. Otherwise, again, simply be one blind person leading another blind person straight down a manhole cover. Jesus is saying, look, be a community shaped by humility. Be more concerned, actually. It's good for you. You want to be helping one another to follow Jesus more closely, to be repenting of sin. To do that, be more concerned with your own sin. Very easy, isn't it, as we sit here, to kind of read the words about not judging, not condemning, forgiving, giving, and go, yeah, that person who really does need to deal with that. That person really does need to be less harsh. That person really doesn't, that person over there really does need to be less Christian. I'm careful, I'm not looking at anybody. That person really does need to be a bit more forgiving, a bit more gracious. Jesus is saying, no. What is Jesus saying to you? Don't be a hypocrite. Deal with your own sin first. This week, the mistake to make from this passage is to go away and go, well, you know, St. Simon's needs to be far, they all need to be far less judgmental and far less harsh. That will be the opposite of what Jesus is calling to. What Jesus is calling to this week is to go away and assess our own hearts and to go, okay, where am I being overly harsh? Where am I being overly critical? Where do I need to forgive? Where do I need to show grace and encouragement? And the gospel brings that. The gospel says we're complete idiots. The gospel says we're a complete idiot, full of sin, and yet saved by a glorious Savior. When we get that, I go, yeah, of course I'm an idiot. Of course, I've got sin that I need to deal with. Of course I need more of God's grace and to know more of his mercy. Let's be a community shaped by mercy. Let's be a community shaped by humility. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray. We're sorry. We're sorry for the times when we get this wrong. We're sorry for the times when we are harsh and overly critical of others. We're sorry for the times when we don't treat people with mercy. We're sorry for the times when we don't forgive as we should and we're not as gracious as we should be. Father, confess my own times when I've been like that, when we've been like that as a church family. Father, help us as those who have received your mercy and grace and forgiveness to seek to live out what Jesus calls us to. Help us this week to be those who are shaped by mercy, those who are more concerned with our own sin. Please, would you show us the areas in our own lives that we need to be seeking your power to change. Please help us this week, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing our final song now.